Back to Colossians again. I'd like to draw your attention to these facts in verse 18 and verse 24. He is the head of the body, the church. That's verse 18. And then verse 24. And now I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for His body's sake, which is the church. I just love it when you come to the Bible, and the exposition is given right in the text. You don't have to go to any commentary. Matthew Henry is not needed whatsoever, because we know exactly what the apostle is speaking about when he talks about the body, comma, the church. In our more common sentence construction, we would even put a dash. The body, the Lord's body, dash, the church. To explain that this is not some far-off, unknowable thing. I was wondering one time, will scientists ever produce a robot equal to the capabilities of the human body? We know that robots are made now for many tasks in factories and so on, but a real living human-like robot, is it possible? With the agility, the comprehension of a multitude of tasks, even multitasking, as many of us have to do from time to time. Like, you know, holding the phone to your ear while you write at the same time, and even eating a sandwich if the other person's doing all the talking. You know, a robot to do the things that the average human does, it would be a marvel. We would hail it as the engineering might and wisdom of man. And yet God has created billions of us who do these things all the time. And babies are born and we ooh and ah at how cute they are. But the creation in an infant, it is absolutely staggering. The body, the human body. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And when you think of all the parts and the chemical factory that a human body is, we wonder that we even have the health we do have. We wonder, how can we even live all these years on earth and not have major, major serious health problems? How can we even continue? And yet, the body is not the most complex part. The mind is, the conscience is, and personality. You know, here we all have the same physical pieces, male versus female. We all have the same physical parts to our human body, but personality is unique. I'm not you, and you're not me. We're different. And we're created and programmed with intelligence and abilities and aptitudes, likes and dislikes, that are unique to every one of us, that makes me me and makes you to be just you. There's no other you. That's why your husband married you, or you married your husband, because it's the only one of the kind. There's not two of them around. Therefore, it was an easier choice. And so the human body is absolutely phenomenal. And now our Lord Jesus uses this body, human body, as a way of appreciating His church. But we have to reverse gears here. Because as we learned last week, that the earthly bride and groom is not the picture of the church. The other way around. The human body is not the picture of the church. Because the church in the mind of God was first. And He created our bodies to represent the church. I know that's perplexing the mind, and that's reversing the role, but in the order of things, it has to be true. God had in His mind the church, and we are the body. The members of that church, the believers in the gospel of the Lord Jesus, are members united to the head. And God has created us that we would reflect that union. That is a marvelous thing. Now, so in the mind of God, the church of Christ, the body, is the most important organism far above the creation of the world. People extol creation. They extol the wonders of creation. But there is no, in the mind of God, there is nothing more precious, more valuable to the head than the body, his people, and each and every member in the body. And of course, God loved his body, the church, so much that he sent his Son to redeem her. We're told in Zephaniah 3 that the Lord sings over his church, delights in her as a father over children. And so in the mind of God, the Church of Christ is the most important, call it institution or organism, ever designed or created. Now, our problem is that we don't always see through the mind of God. We often see things through human eyes, natural eyes as we do, and it's very difficult for us to understand what is God thinking about his church. We may drive down a street and see a church, people congregating. We may even hear them singing. And we say, well, that's just community going on. That's just community. That's, you know, the warp and woof of society. People leave their homes, they go to church, they spend an hour or two, and they come home again. That is just the gathering of community. But in the Lord's mind, in the Lord's great heart for his church, it is more mysterious, it is more wonderful, it is more blessed than that. And we will not appreciate this experience today of coming into God's house and worshiping with God's saints. We will not appreciate the activity of the assembly of God's people, the living church, in our local setting, until we get something of the mind of God on this. Now, of course, we come to these passages of Scripture and we look at this picture. We look at this, what the apostle says, his body's sake, which is the church. Now, you may not have formal membership in the Lord's church, but the church claims you. You cannot opt out. Independency is wrong. Now, whether you actually drag your body into a building and enter into the service of praising the Savior and honoring the head, if you are a born-again believer and saved by grace, you are a member of the Lord's church. You are already a member. You don't become a member of the Lord's body by signing a church membership card or being accepted at a communion service into the living formal membership of a local church. A church cannot make you a member of the Lord's body. That is grace, that is the gospel, that is the work of the Spirit in your heart. That is the new birth whereby you that were dead in sin are made now to be united to the head, to the Lord Jesus himself. But once you are united to Christ by grace and by the gospel, as a member of the church, you're not your own anymore. You're not a single entity anymore. You're a member in the body. You must now serve the head. You must now worship the head and respond in a way that each member, as they ought to respond in unison to honoring the head. And that's why there is a burden upon the individual to not just go out in some tangent and do their own thing, but to become an active, responsible, living, useful, serving member in the Lord's church. Now, to grasp this doctrine, and I'm really taking a doctrine and trying to lead you into what you would call the blossoming reality, the leaves and the flowers of this doctrine that I hope you have your roots in. I hope you understand who you are in Christ Jesus as a Christian. You are now a part of the Lord's body, the church. He's the head. You cannot any longer pretend or act in an individualistic, singular way. because you're a Christian. You are in that body of the Lord Jesus. This has importance to your attitude to the glory of Christ, in your attitude to the kingdom of God, and the whole global work of the Lord building His church in the earth. And in real practical terms, which, after all, we can't be in all parts of the world at all times and doing all things for the Lord in all of His kingdom. We can't be in every harvest field at one time. We are in that local, particular spot where Providence has placed us, and we would seek to be a part of that reflecting ministry of the Lord's church in the way that God has called us to it. Now, this is important, therefore, to your attitude to the local church. Now, I have to unashamedly say I am a church man. Some people don't like that statement. It smacks of organized religion. It smacks of apostasy and mainline churches that have done despite to the gospel. And all of those things are true tragedies. We hate what has developed in mainline churches and denominations. They have turned to do the devil's work and preach another gospel and so on. But let's remember what we learned about the dollar. Because there are counterfeit dollars doesn't mean all dollars are counterfeit. Because there is the fake doesn't mean that there's not the genuine. In fact, the opposite is the case. Because there is the fake, the false, and the failing, it means there is the true. There is the true church of the Lord Jesus. There is that ministry that truly reflects the Lord's program and plan for His people to serve Him as members in the body. And so let us develop this picture that the Apostle uses here over and over. He uses it in Colossians, he uses it in Ephesians 4, and in a very extensive way in 1 Corinthians 12. This picture of the human body as our link to the head serving in unison. Not individually, but in unison. And because of the special relation of believers to the Lord Jesus, we cannot act independently. Let's read this again. Colossians 1:18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things, that in all things He might have the preeminence. So what is the church for? The church, the body, is to serve the head so that the head has all the preeminence, the glory, the honor, the praises, so that our Lord is magnified. That's what the body is about, to magnify the head, to glorify Him. And my friend, if you are born of the Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is in your heart, that attitude, that Spirit will be your heart's desire. Unquestionable. I would have to say this if I put it negatively. The person that has no respect for the head, Christ, could never be a member in the body. The one who is truly indwelt by the Spirit, born again with a new nature, the Christ nature in him, will desire to honor the head. Now we feel in it. We're not perfect. We do not say that we always honor the head in every way that we ought to. We feel, we stumble, we fall, but our desire, our longing, is that in my life Christ will be honored and truly have the preeminence. Now we are linked to the Lord as members of the body to the head, of course, by our Lord's incarnation. He became human nature. There is that direct link. Then by His redemption, we are washed in His blood and we're redeemed. We're not our own. We're bought with a price, as 1 Corinthians 6 tells us. Then we are indwelt by the Spirit. Now, in that same light, think of the human body. It's linked to the head in so many ways. By the nervous system, the spinal cord, and the information or the command center of the head tells the members of the body what to do. And thereby the head has that preeminent position that it is the command center. It sends down those messages. Wiggle your toe, move your finger, lift up your arms. And those things that we do in response to the command of the head. You cannot live without a head. At our vacation Bible school, I was joking with the kids that this week somebody's going to get their head cut off. And what they didn't know was that I was going to talk about Goliath later on in the week. And if you want to find a way of getting good response from children, just mention the head coming off. Now, why did David cut Goliath's head off? Why was it necessary? After all, he had a stone sunk into his forehead and he was already down. Well, he took the giant sword and he sawed off his head, held it up as that absolute mark of complete victory. This giant will never stalk the land again. He's never going to walk the earth again. He's never going to shout blasphemy again. Gone. The body is finished because it's severed from the head. And of course, this is the wonder of our human bodies. We are linked to the head, or we have no life. We're dead. This brings a very serious gospel application to any unconverted person here today. You say, but why all this fuss about knowing Jesus and accepting Jesus and believing in Him and so on? Because you have no life in you. And our Lord Jesus came to give life. He came to give purpose and meaning to you. That the body without a head has no purpose, no usefulness. And likewise, one-to-one in your relationship with the Lord, you need to be united to Him. And so as a Christian, you count and you matter and you have tremendous value to the Lord Himself because you're united to that head. You are a member of that head. There is no more elevating principle to human beings than to be linked to the Lord Jesus. It's a glorious, wonderful, amazing, astounding reality that I'm not just a lone, single entity anymore. I'm not just a son of Adam. I'm not just one in the human race. I'm a member of the body, the church. This ought to thrill us. And if you're saved and you're redeemed by the blood, this is a glorious, wonderful realization. Linked to the head. Therefore, you count. You're not a loner. You're not alone. You're not an individual anymore. You're a member in the body. Just as every part and every organ, every item on the human body has its place, purpose, function. Now, while there, the body, there is diversity, there is unity. That's the next thing we learn from this whole picture of the body being the church. The eye, very different from the toe. Totally different from the toe. An ear, totally different from the knee joint. Hair is very different from our muscles. Yet, all in their own place have their vital role and vital function. And so in the church of the Lord Jesus, there is this diversity. People of all kinds, people of all nations, tongues, people of all abilities and aptitudes, male and female, rich and poor, wise and unlearned, barbarian, scything, bond or free, male and female, all one in Christ Jesus. There is diversity, but there is this unity. And this answers the complaint that I hear even professing Christians make, but I don't count. It makes no difference whether I'm involved or not. It makes no difference whether I am in my place as a servant of the Lord or not. I don't even count. Well, I can hear the toe saying that. I don't count. All I get is covered up in sweaty socks and shoes that nobody even wants to see me. Just try walking, running, jumping without your big toe. You'll find out that that which would appear to be unnecessary and certainly most times unseen becomes more important than ever imagined. And here is the answer to every Christian in the Lord's church and to this local assembly. And I use the word assembly because the Greek word is ecclesia, called out ones. And as I mentioned last week, for convenience, we call ourselves as a local congregation or assembly the church. Some people balk at that and say that's just too convenient and confuses. Well, there's no way around it. No way around it. We want to call it assembly or congregation or group or whatever. When you are meeting under the headship of the Lord Jesus, when you are meeting under the banner of the cross, every member counts. Every member counts. Just, and in the human body, there are parts that we don't even know about. Glands, organs, veins and vessels that we don't even are not aware of. And yet in the chemical factory of the human body have in its own way a vital, vital function. And we're living in an age today, especially in Canadian society, and sociologists recognize this, that since the 1960s, with multiculturalism in Canada, we have diversity, which is now individualism. Every man following what he wants for himself. Individualism. Now, this reflects in evangelical churches today, where you have churches with reasonable attendance, but little, small membership roles. Churches that are functioning on a shoestring because everybody wants to be an individual. Now, am I forcing you to join this church? No. Please, I'm going to be up front and frank right here at this juncture because obviously the pressure's on to make you think that. Am I forcing you to sign up the membership of this church? No, I'm not. But I must preach what the Bible teaches about the glory of the Lord's church and the wonder of His church and the will of God for His people in His church. And here we see this diversity and yet unity that leads to I can no longer be an individual. I can no longer be my own man with my own agenda. You cannot hive off and say, well, I'm giving up and I'm shutting down because I'm not needed in any participation in the Lord's church. I think that becomes the devil's program. To weaken the Lord's church, to diminish the usefulness of the Lord's church, because the whole body, to function and serve the head, every member needs to be healthy, every member needs to be active. It's like the athlete. When the athlete is training for a particular event, he may be a swimmer, he may be a pole vaulter, he may be a gymnast, he may be in Winter Olympics, a skier, but what does he do? He trains the whole body. He doesn't say, well, I have 10 muscles that I got to work on, and all the rest don't matter. And if there's some weak area in his body, he's got to put the emphasis on that the whole body is performing on the day of that event, that he might win that race. Now, this analogy is used in the Bible, not only the body, the church, but the athlete. Paul talks about running the race to gain the prize. Now, if we're really obeying that scriptural command, we want the whole body to be in good shape. We want the whole body to be serving the head in unison, not in an independent way, but that we might run the race and serve our Lord, and that this church, and I can only speak of this church, I am, by God's providence, pastor of this church at this time. My burden and responsibility is to you as the people of God who come in under the worship of this church. Our vision, our goal must be this church is healthy, disciplined, active, and every member in his, her place, that we may serve the Lord. Let's talk about the health of the body for a moment. Health is, to every one of us, so important concerning the body. Each member of the body, of course, needs to be interested in purity. The known fact that hand washing is a way to prevent a lot of illnesses. Depends what you're doing, of course, but if you're amongst crowds and people and public places and so on, it's always good to wash your hands frequently. That's common practice. But what if one hand said, no, wash the other hand, but don't wash me. I'm not interested in hygiene. And so the other hand obeys and gets into the water and uses the soap and dries off and comes out pretty clean and without any danger to the rest of the body, but this hand remains filthy. This hand won't be washed. It's careless. It is slack and haphazard, and of course becomes a threat to the rest of the body. Because sooner or later we're going to lick that finger, we're going to, you know, close the sandwich over with both hands, and the germs are at least on one side of the bread. So these are common sense things. Now applied to the church, applied to the body of God's people, every one of us in the church must be interested in the purity of the church. Because one member or one aspect of the body that is defiled and mocks the purity of the church is a threat, is a danger of ruining the testimony, ruining the ability of that church to witness and serve the head and continue to preach the gospel. And it comes down to individuals. The church is no doubt corporate, it is the body of people, but a body of people is made up of individuals. And every one of us needs to be interested in purity. Purity of doctrine, purity of life, purity of walk. And when one member of the church, one who is linked to that group of people, goes out into the world and flaunts a worldly life, the whole body becomes tarnished with that impurity and uncleanness and threatens the testimony and usefulness of the church. And then worse than that, bringing the world into the church so that your example, your lifestyle rubs off on young believers or young people in the church. And the excuse always is, well, that person professes to be a Christian. He's a member of the church. He takes communion. He or she sings along with God's people and seems to be a bright person for the Lord. And they do that. And that means the world now is coming into the church. And so you see, we cannot live unto ourselves. Like Paul said in Romans, no man liveth unto himself. And especially in the church of the Lord Jesus, various members of the body, we must be interested in purity. Every one of us. Time doesn't allow me here, but that's where membership comes in. That every member agrees to a certain set of standards, doctrinally and practically in life. You're going to smoke and drink, curse and swear, run to the movies all the time, use the language of the world all the time. How can you be a member of a church in good standing? And it becomes the work and ministry of minister and elders to sit down with that person and convince them. You're professing the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You come under the ministry of this church. You can't live the way you're living. You are a danger to the testimony of the Lord's church. And our role would be to reform and to cause them to think about what they're doing and going wrong and repent and change their ways. And sometimes people get very upset and say, no man's going to tell me what I'm going to do. I'm my own person. And they get very uptight and off they go or create a whole fuss about them. And there is that individualism again. There is that self-centered position. But the church can never be that way. The Christian, once you're a Christian, once you're a disciple of Christ, you cannot be your own man. You're the Lord's. You're a member of His body. You're serving the head. And all the commands of the head come down to you. You can't opt out. You can't run away from it. You're a member in the body. All members also need a good diet. If the tongue, in which are all the taste buds, at least most of them, If the tongue said, well, I only like whipped cream and desserts and sweets and I'm not a bit interested in that broccoli and carrots and all those things. I only want sweet things. Well, it would work for a day or two, perhaps, but the digestive system would soon be in trouble, and the whole body would become sickly for lack of nutrients, and toxins of all kinds would poison the system. There needs to be a right diet for every member in the body. And a right diet will enable the body to serve the head. If the body becomes tired and weak and lethargic and lack of nutrition is causing just a drowsiness, no energy to serve the head. And of course, if the body becomes sick and the immune system gets run down, then it can't serve the head. And so, think about this. What is your diet as a Christian in this church? Are you feeding on the Word of God? And again, I'm going to be very honest with you. We had a very, very small adult Sunday school class this morning. I was hoping that, at least at the beginning of the year, we would see a new enthusiasm of those who want a diet of strong meat. Strong meat. And as you know, adult Sunday school is for strong meat. It's for those who, you know, you listen to two, maybe three sermons a week. Let's get some doctrine, some hardcore Christian teachings, and grapple with them and grow in an understanding of these things. That's what our adult Sunday school is about. And then Sunday evening we have a battle with attendance and prayer meeting and so on. And all of these, we seek to build one another up in the faith. That's what about. We're caring for the body. We want a good diet. But when a whole number of members don't eat, it's a problem. It's a problem. It's essential to feed the body that we might serve the head. And I call you to feeding. I call you to getting into the truths of God's Word and rejoicing in them that you might serve the head. Without that grounding in God's Word and that feasting on His Word, then service will be weak and sickly. Another thing I should say here today, that each member must work for the peace of the body. The peace of the body. Paul said that, we read this last week in Ephesians 5, that no man ever yet hated his own flesh. Talking about husbands loving their wives and so on. And that we as fellow Christians are to take care of members of the body. No man ever yet hated his own flesh. What would you think if this hand pounded that little pinky all the time? Right? Just got it on a corner somewhere in a real dangerous spike and just pounded it every opportunity and did not work for the peace and contentment of the other members of the body. It would be a real problem. It would be an awful problem. We would have to get this hand under some kind of restraint. We would have to say, that hand is out of control and is not behaving in a way to care for the rest of the body. So it's a danger. If it destroys the pinky, it might destroy an eye. And so every member in the body has to care for the other members of the body. And no member can promote his own ideas and hurt the other members of the body. No matter how much you like golfing, and you're perfecting your swing, if you've got a back that's out and you've got some kind of a vertebrae that's rubbing and there's friction going on there that's causing severe pain in your back and damaging that area, it needs rest, it needs recuperation. And there you are on the golf course perfecting your swing. And you say, well, I'm only using my arms. That is not caring for the peace of the body. And this is the whole language of the Bible. We're to care for one another. We're to be considerate, be kind to one another, and especially they of the household of faith. And where another is hurting or sensitive, we don't take opportunity to further hurt or further to pull down, but rather we practice self-denial. And we say, oh dear, I'm not going golfing today because it's going to kill my back. I just love, mine wants to be out there. But I'm going to I'm going to deny myself that pleasure because I want my other member, my back, to get healed up. And there are times that we as Christians have to think that way on behalf of our fellow believers in the church. And we deny ourselves. We say, but I've got my own agenda. I can justify it. I've got all these arguments why this is the thing I want to do. But if it's going to disturb the peace, the harmony, the sweet fellowship of God's people, it doesn't matter if you have 100 arguments. You're wrong. You're sinning against the body of Christ. You're grieving members and thereby grieving the Lord. And so, once you're a Christian and once you, the church claims you as a member of the body of Christ, you have to think of all these things. You have to act in a new way. The carnal way has to go and the new way must take over. And one last thought before I close. We cannot be self-centered in the body because we must seek growth, the growth of the body, of the church. How does the body grow? It grows by duplicating cells. One cell becomes two, two becomes four becomes eight, and so on. And without that growth, the body would not be strong, it would not even maintain itself. Some statistics I have read, every 7 years, every cell in our body is renewed. Can you imagine that? I'm not the same person I was 7 years ago. Well, at least all my cells have changed, and I'm an older version of what I was 7 years ago, according to that figure. Cells keep replicating, duplicating, that it might promote growth. Now, in the church of the Lord Jesus, there has to also be this growth, this dividing of cells, if you will, this adding to the church new members, new converts. We need to be adding to the church continually. We can never rest and say the church has arrived. We've got enough now. The church will soon dissipate and be gone. The generation will be gone if there is not this adding to the church, this growth that we need. And we're all called to this. And I thought of this analogy. We're all called to this matter of church growth. Because the cells in my finger cannot duplicate to produce a thumb. Every cell has to duplicate itself for the growth of the body. And in the body of the church, so many say, well, the burden of church growth, the burden of reaching others with the gospel, that's for other people, not me. Think of it this way. Whatever number of years, if the Lord tarries and we are gone, who's going to replace you in your seat? What convert will you have produced to even replace you, never mind grow the church? Think about this. And once we are members of the body, once we are united to the head and linked to Him, we have all these new responsibilities. The church is a glorious reality. The body which is the church. It's the body of Christ now. It's not just a nebulous entity. It is that body of Christ. He is the head. We are linked by union to Him. By grace, by blood, by the incarnation of our Lord Jesus. As we learned, we're linked to Him. His human nature, His divine nature, His redemption. By the Holy Spirit living in us, there is this union. And if you're a Christian, you wouldn't even want to deny that. You would rejoice in it. If you're a Christian, you say, boy, I'm so thrilled to be united to the Lord Jesus and have Him as my head. Now, we rejoice in the reality of the union. Must we not also consider our responsibilities, our new attitudes that are required as members of that body, to one another and to the Lord Jesus? The one difficulty with this study on the church is that there are so many aspects of the church. There's the church triumphant in glory, the heavenly church, church of the firstborn right now in the presence of God. There is the church which every believer around the globe represents. They are members of that church of the Lord Jesus, every born-again believer of whatever stripe they are. And then there is this local organism, the church, which the Lord has ordained for the ministry of His people, the edifying of His people, the shepherding of the flock. And the Lord has given pastors and teachers and elders and deacons and the structure of His local church. We have those pastoral epistles that outline the manner, the form that a local church should take. You had Timothy in a real-life local situation in one little dot on the map, and the city of Ephesus, that's where he pastored. Paul said to him, he's to ordain elders. He's to have deacons. He is to plead with the people to worship in an orderly manner because the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. That's how we must, in practical terms, apply this doctrine. You're a member of the church. We now have a great work to do, a great new way to live and act and believe and take responsibility. And I pray that the Lord will cause us to glory in this, able to put our arms around a brother and say, isn't it great that we're members serving the same head? We're not going in two different directions. We're serving the same head. And you know what? The nearer we get to Christ in spirit, in heart, in knowledge, the easier it will be to walk together hand in hand as brethren in Christ. The easier it will be to serve together. Because we've all submitted, I am no longer my own man, I am the Lord's. We obey the head. The Lord use these things and speak to your heart and give you grace that we each may so live and so worship the Lord and serve Him these times.